We left off last time discussing the shear for Begadat Mekabel Tumah. The Shacha pointed out, based on the Gemara and the Asamech, just as it's relevant to determine what material is Mekabel Tumah, it's relevant to determine what size of the Begadat is Mekabel Tumah. And we noted the Rambam at the beginning of Perek of Dave Kalim, based on the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos and Mishnayos toward the end of Kalim, that there is a distinction between what a baye kosher and asamuch of gimel gimel tzos, and situations where you need gimel of gimel tzachin. That when it comes to a begad of semer kishin, so then there's going to be a shear of a gimel of gimel tzos versus star begadim with a shear of gimel gimel tzachin. And even there, that distinction is only relevant if you're cutting off an existing begad. So then, presumably, the function is one of the distinction is a function of the chashivos. That Tamar Kishin is a more kosher baggage. So when we have the term baggage in the Torah, if that means that Tamar Kishin, so then that's more kosher, and even a smaller piece of Tamar Kishin, which allows Hashiva can be Mekabel Tumah, even if it's only Gimel Gimel Tzos, as opposed to other materials which are less inherently kosher, and maybe not the Torah definition of a baggage, and therefore you have a higher threshold in order to be Mekabel Tumah of Gimel Gimel Tzos. And we saw that the other caveat that Tosus points out in Rebur and Tosir and Asamus is that Machshava works also. That this is only if you're talking about cutting off a piece from an existing kli, so then the shear is irrelevant. But if you're making a kli meikara, you have Machshava that that's going to be a kli, so then there's no shear. Even if it's a kol shehu, if you're master that as a kli, that's going to be Mekabel Tumah. Arya just pointed out that I misspoke at the end of the last year when I quoted something from the Vajra, so let me just set the record straight now what the intention was. The Vajra pointed out that whether there is a distinction between Samar Kishin and Shar Begadim as far as the Shear of Gimel or Gimel Tzvos versus Gimel or Gimel Tzvokim may be dependent on the Machlokas Rishonim, whether in Hilchot Tzitzis and other areas as well, we talk about a begad is the daf ketamer tishis. According to the Rambam, according to the Mechaber and Hilchot Tishis, you're only mechayiv in tishis min haTorah if it's a begad of tamer tishim. So then, tamer tishim is what the Torah's definition of begad involves, and there, the shear for a broken off, a torn off piece of a begad is going to be gimel gimel tzachin. But if you have other materials which are not a begad min haTorah, so then the shear is going to be gimel gimel tzachin because it takes more. There's a higher bar to accord that tashiva. But if you assume that Ramah Paskin's Alasa in Hilchot Tzitzis and Sinuches, that even Shar Begadim Rechayiv in Tzitzis Min haTorah, so then the definition of Beged isn't limited to Tamar Tzitzim, and then you may hold that even Shar Begadim this year is going to be Gimel or Gimel itself. So what Ravadia said, I said the opposite last time, what Ravadia said was even if you're an Ashkenazi and you hold like the Ramah, that when it comes to Hilchot Tzitzis, Shar Begadim are Mechayiv in Tzitzis Min haTorah, in which case that would tell you that you have to be machmir for shir gimel or gimel etzvos for kabbalah tumah even by shar begadim. But because the summon hilchot mahakel, because you have the right to be nekel and hilchot summon in general, so then even an Ashkenazi could say kimli in effect or hold that summer tishtim is dafka and shar begadim, shar materials, this year would be gimel al gimel tzachin and not gimel al gimel etzvos. Okay. So that was the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. So what emerges from that is that for all intents and purposes, any time you have a beged that was made as such, even if it's of a minimal shear, even if it's less than gimel or gimel tzachin, even if it's less than gimel or gimel tzvos, that presumably would be mekabel tumah, assuming that it's the material that could be mekabel tumah, and the size wouldn't be a factor. So if you found a kesem on such a beged, as small as it is, if there was machshava that should have chashivos, if it was constructed as an independent beged, not ripped off an existing beged, so then even with the minimal shear that we'd mekabel tumah, would be mekabel tumah tumah. Okay. Then halacha beis, the Rambam continues, perek beis halacha beis. Habegadim ha'avim b'yoser, and this is based on a Mishnah in Kalim, perek ches, Mishnah ches. Kalim Parakot Fes Mishnah Fes. So the lesson of Mishnah Ha'avim v'harakim. The dadim are garments that are exceptionally thick or exceptionally thin. Ein behem yishum shalosh al shalosh. So if you have a beged that is exceptionally thin or exceptionally thick, the standard shi'urim do not apply. The question whether the correct yirsa here is shalosh al shalosh or shlosh al shlosh. But so whatever it is, whether we're talking about the shlosh, whether we're talking about shlokim, if it's a beged that's exceptionally thick or exceptionally thin, then it's not subject to the regular shiurim. So the way the Rambam says that here in Halacha Beis, Chaf Beis Halacha Beis, Habigadim ha'avim b'yoser, kigon halavadin v'hanimtin akashim, so exceptionally thick begadim, o habigadim ha'rakim b'yoser, kigon bigay pishtan shal mitrayim, shabasa nir mitachtan, or if you have material that's exceptionally thin, Einan mekablin tuma ad shiya bekera shlosha al shlosha tefachim deim lemedet deim lesharatava. So the Rambam understood the correct yirsa is shalosh al shalosh etzvos. So the Mishnah is saying that if you have the gadim ha'azim zarakim, if they're exceptionally thick, exceptionally thin, then the shiur is not gimel gimel etzvos. It's left by mishum ein mishum shalosh al shalosh etzvos, but rather the shiur is gimel al gimel tefachim. Right? So even if we're talking about shamer pishtim, which normally the shiur would be gimel gimel tefachim, if it comes to the gadim avin the yoser, rakim the yoser, the shiur is gimel gimel tefachim. Right? Einam akavim tuma ad shiya b'kera shlosh al shlosh tefachim they lemedit v'im l'shar tuma. So if we're talking about ripping a piece off a larger garment, where normally for summer pishtim this year should be gimel gimel as both, when it comes to exceptionally thick or exceptionally thin begadim, the shear is gimel gimel tefachim. The Rambam explains in Perish HaMishnayis there, Shakol shehu gas me'od, this is obviously in translation, Kol shehu gas me'od, odak me'od, ein shalosh al shalosh mimenu, mistame betumah min atumos. So if it's exceptionally thick, exceptionally thin, then it's not going to be tame or mistame with a shear gimel gimel tefos, because that's not considered to be a functional beged. Because of the thickness or the thinness of this beged, if it's only gimel gimel tefos, it's not really functional, it doesn't serve a purpose. But it's only going to be considered functional if it reaches a shear of gimel al gimel tefos. Okay, so these levadim, these exceptionally thick levadim, even by tamar pishtim, the shear is going to be gimel al gimel tefachim. Fine. Parenthetically, Rav Yashiv points out the following maramakom in the kela gimel simin kufam gimel, covers two of kela gimel simin kufam gimel. We'll come to the two in a few moments for what's relevant in Hilchos Anida for our concern. But he just points out that the Rash over there, the Rash in Kalim, Kosha Tosefka, that says, Ha'osa Chaluko Min HaLevad, so Levad is one of these thick materials, that if you make a garment out of a thick material, in Yeshbo Shlosha Shlosha Tameh, the Imlav Tahor. So if it has a shiur gimel or gimel tefachim, it's tamei, and if not, it's tahor. So Rav Yosef quotes the Chazon Ish in Kalim Siman Lamed Beis, which I looked for quickly. So it's not a short siman. I couldn't find it. It's probably there somewhere in a line. But if you want to take a look, you can find it. He quotes the Chazon Ish in Kalim Siman Lamed Beis that says, what's this stuff after the Rashi's quoting? The way we just understood the halacha, the way the Rambam definitely explained the halacha, is that we're talking about a ripped-off part of a larger garment. So that's where the shear of gimel al gimel exposed versus gimel most often is relevant. So if you have a thick garment and you ripped off a piece, that person, Gimel Tafin or Gimel Tafin, it's not going to be Makabal Tumma, even though if it was a regular thickness, then the shear would be Gimel Tafin or Gimel Tafin. But the Rashi is quoting a Tosefta that says, we're talking about if you make Ha'ufa Chalukah, you're making a bag and Mishpila. And there the shear is Gimel Tafin or Gimel Tafin. So that doesn't fit with what we saw in the Ram, that doesn't fit with our general Mahalach as far as where the shear are relevant. So he says, and maybe this is Tala Sofrim, it really should say Hachol Shabala as opposed to Osa Chalupa. Be that as it may, whether that is the correct given Tosef or not, and whether the Rosh means it's Lahalach or not, then the Rambam is clear, both from Peir Shem Mishnayis and the Rambam here in Yad, Tosef Beis, that the whole relevance here is if you have a larger Beged, and you rip off a part of it, so then there's a difference between a exceptionally thick or exceptionally thin baguette as opposed to a regular sized baguette, where even by some repetition, if it's exceptionally thick or thin, the shear is going to be gimel tefachim or gimel tefachim. Good? Okay. So how is all of this relevant to Lamaisa? Rabbi Karp writes as follows on page Peivav, quoting from Rav Yashiv, that if you have a pad made out of cotton, so he quotes that cotton is considered in the category of levadin, in the category of an exceptionally thick material, and therefore the shear for Kabbalah Summa is going to be gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim. Assuming that cotton may have been a semer pisher for the purposes, or semer gefa may have been a semer, so because it's made out of thick material, a pad is considered levadin, and therefore the shear is going to be gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim. So, without other considerations, if you zero in on that nekuda, then in theory, if you found dam in a pad, that should be considered a kesem, because the pad is much less than gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim. So what's difficult with that representation is that after we just explained the whole relevance of the shear gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim b'chlal and for levadim as well in the context of the Rambam is where you have a larger baguette and then you cut off a piece of the baguette. So then, it's only going to be considered functional kashuv if the piece that you cut off is more than gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim. If you fashion a baguette that way, mishpila, we are rash, so we quote it notwithstanding. If you fashion a baguette that way, mishpila, and Rabbi Yashiv himself in that tshuva does not think that rash is correct or lawful, whether or not he meant it. But if you fashion a baguette mishpila, and it has a function of such, that's your intention, so then gimel tefachim al gimel tefachim is not going to be relevant. Now, a pad may not be makabel tumah for other reasons. It could be, as we'll talk about a little bit later, if it's disposable, so that may be a different question, even though Rav Yashiv himself is machmir that, as we'll see a little bit later, toilet paper is not considered ain't a makabel tumah because it's disposable. The fact that it's disposable doesn't change anything. Others argue, we'll see. But as far as the shear beged, this representation of Rabbi Karp and Rabbi Yashiv seems a little bit curious that if the pad is constructed in the shila lakah, why should, even if it's a material that, if it was levadim, would have a shear gimel tefachim gimel tefachim, but that's only if it's levadim that was cut off from a larger beged. And Rabbi Yashiv himself, in the shuva we quoted a few moments ago, chelak gimel simin tuf lamed gimel, assumes that pad is metabol some of the culture because it was constructed precisely for use, constructed as a mabush, constructed to avoid staining your clothing. So for that reason, if that was the intention they wrote, then that's going to have a status of a daged independent of the shear, even if it's the culture who is going to be metabol some of some. So a little bit confused about what Rabbi Karp's question is, regarding the fear and the equation to levada. However, even Rabbi Karb quotes in Rabbi Yasser the following reason that the pad would be problematic, that if you put the pad in a garment, so then even if it's not physically fastened to the garment, even if you don't put it with a safety pin or tape or something like that, it's still considered to be connected to the beged and bottle to the beged. And even if your intention is only to use it on a temporary basis, which is the standard intention of a pad, it's not meant to be part of the beged, but the fact that you're putting it in and it's adhering to the beged, even if it's not sewn, taped, fastened to it, that still makes it considered batel to the beged, and therefore there would be no independent kulah of eino mekabel tumah, even if you had a pad in isolation, not connected to the beged, maybe you would argue that that's considered eino mekabel tumah. And Rabbi Morgenstern quotes the same from Rabbi Yashiv without that explanation in the Pifkei Daf page 414, that the pad is considered to be batel to the garment if it's placed in the standard way inside a garment. So bottom line, while you could be done, and we'll talk about this in a moment in the context of toilet paper, but you could be done whether the fact that it is disposable may play a role in saying that it's eino mekabel tumah, or eino mekabel tumah by extension, but as far as the shear, the comments of Rabbi Karb from Rabbi Yasha notwithstanding, what seems to be mavur from the other citations of Rabbi Yasha in the Shuv itself, and the way we presented the halacha here in the Rambam, that for all intents and purposes, if you have a beged ha'asuya lakach, beged ha'asuya lakach, a beged that's constructed in the size that it's intended to be constructed, not talking about the cutting off of an existing garment, which nowadays come out, we never do. But if you have anything that's constructed as such and serves a purpose, so that, as far as the shear is concerned, would not affect the Kabbalah Soma status, and as long as it's a material that would be Makabal Soma, then it would be Makabal Soma Soma. Okay? Good. So let's talk a little bit about paper. I assume you saw the citations in the Pesach Tshuva from the Noda Yehuda and from the Shiva Tziyam. Pesach Tshuva in Shifkata and Yifas. To quote, I am Noda Yehuda Kinyana Kufay, Shakasa Dinayar Shalon Mekabel Tumah. That our paper in the Prague of the Noda Yehuda time, is Mekabel Tumim. The Lagara Mi Levadim the Mekabel Tumah. It's no worse than the Levadim that we just discussed, thick material or thin material, but Levadim itself is thick material, which are Mekabel Tumah. The way the Noda Yehuda says it is the Shoel wanted to distinguish between the status of papyrus and the status of contemporary paper. Contemporary paper in the time of the Noda Yehuda seems to have been constructed most typically from rags, from some combination of linen, cotton, and other materials that was pulverized into paper. The Noda Yehuda is contrasting ancient papyrus paper with his contemporary paper of heat, linen, cotton mixed together to make paper. And apparently in subsequent to that, beginning in the later 19th century, the more common way to produce paper was from using wood pulp. But in the time of the Noda Yehuda, the commonly used paper was made from rags or something of the sort. So the Noda Yehuda writes in the Tshuva, arguing on the Shoel, the Napoku, the Niyarmi Asavim Ein lo inyan l'tumas negayim. If you have paper made out of grass, that's not mekabel tumas negayim. V'niyar shalanu ha'aslo nibluye sechavos, shekar and pitch in the tzemer, that our contemporary paper that's made out of rags of woolen linen, nitam v'negayim. That is mekabel tumas negayim, and therefore should be mekabel tumas tzemer. He says that if Amnam Linin Shar Tumos Avshikasati Shasavim Sheena Machal Adam Eina Makabal Tumma Hainu Kamo Shehain. So even though he said that if you construct something out of grass it's not Makabal Tumma, that's if it's in its original form. Avalim Asam Mehem Begadim Olivadim. But if you make a garment out of grass, he says that even grass, lomi by, he assumes this is pashut for the summer piston rags of the day, that even if you were to make a paper garment out of grass, since you're making it into a functional kli, that's going to be makabel tumma, and that is the status of levadim, which are makabel tumma. So that's the position of the Nozhi Yehuda that the Pesach Tshuva references here, that his contemporary paper is Mekabel Tuma, and therefore is Mekabel Tuma Tuma. The Pesach Tshuva tells you to look at the Shiva Tzion, Simon Lamites, the Nozhi Yehuda's son. So he was asked by the following Rambam. Those of you that seems to be against the Rambam. What's the Rambam? Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Aleph and Kalim. Ha'osa kli kibo mikol makom areza mekabel tumah b'kol shem min ha'Torah. If you make a kli kibo, that's going to be mekabel tumah b'kol shehu. The aim of kli kibo shir. Who she asked the davar shel kayama she asked the shiyama. So if you make a kli kibo, as long as it's shel kayama and it's sustainable, it's going to be mekabel tumma. Ketzad, ha'os kli min ha'or ha'masa shelin ha'zabikal. If you fashion a kli from raw hide, raw leather, that wasn't processed, omen aniyar, or you make a kli kibul from paper, alpha pish, ein aniyar, mekabel tumma. Even though under normal circumstances, in a vacuum, paper is not mekabel tumma, but if you fashion a kli kibul out of paper, as long as that kli kibul is functional, it is mekabel tumah. So the shaul asked the Shiva Tzion, and how can we know who to say? How could the Nozhi Yehuda say that paper is mekabel tumma? What you see from the Rambam is mekabel tumma tumim. What you see from the Rambam is that if you make a kli kibul out of paper, so then that's going to be mekabel tumma. But anything short of that, the yar be'etzem is not mekabel tumma, right? If you make a kli kibul in an yar, alpha tisha in an yar mekabel tumma, so that's a special din by kli kibul. But in general, the R is not mekabel tumma. So you just have a piece of paper, and you see a tesem on that piece of paper, shouldn't that be considered ein mekabel tumma, and therefore ein mekabel tumma tumma? Right? That's the question that was posed to the Shiva Tzion. And he says that, no, there are, niyar is a broad category, and there are different subcategories within the term niyar. Says Shem Niyar who Shem Akolel Akol Min Niyaros Av Shem Chalukim Bizyanei Tumah. So Niyar is a broad category. Certain types of Niyar are Mekabel Tumah. Certain types of Niyar are not Mekabel Tumah. And he says that's Meduyik in the Rambam that we just read. The Rambam that we just read said Omin HaNiyar, not Omin Niyar. So HaNiyar with the Hei Yidiyah. So that kind of niyar which is not Mekabel Tumah, but there are other types in the R that may be Mekabel Tumah. So depending on the material used, and perhaps depending on the manufacturing process, you could have categories in the R that are Mekabel Tumah. So that's why they know the Yudah held that if you fashion paper out of material that is fundamentally in a vacuum Mekabel Tumah, then that paper can be Mekabel Tumah too. So if you're making niyar out of tamar pishtim, which is fundamentally Mekabel Tumah, then the paper that you make out of it will be Mekabel Tumah as well. And then the Pisgah Shuba question is Sidrei Tara, who is Mekel, because of Panu Chadash Shisbolakai. So very nice that the paper is produced from pulverized rags that are tamar pishtim, but it doesn't look anything like a rag anymore. So the fact that it was made from material that used to be Mekabel Tumah doesn't concern us because it's a totally new object now, Panim Chadashos Bo Lekai. And the Sidrei Tara says, even though you might have said when it came to the ancient kind of paper, that maybe the discussion in earlier sources about Niyar, that's talking about made out of brass, which the essence is in the Mekabel Tumah. And maybe it'll tell me if it's made out of tamar pishtim, it should be in the Mekabel Tumah. It's just, nope. Even so, Panu Chadashos Bo Lekai, even if you're making it from something which is fundamental in the Mekabel Tumah, once you pulverize it, you make something totally new, then Panu Chadashos Bo Lekai bears no resemblance, living or dead, to the previous form of its existence, and therefore it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Most Achronim are Mekel on the side. If you look in Rav Chaya, he winds up a whole list of Achronim, the later Achronim after the Nevi Yudin Sidrei Tara, that are Mekel. There is a Chachmas Adam. Rabbi Morgenstern points out on page 393 that there are two editions of the Chachmas Adam. And the first printing of the Chachmas Adam that was published in his lifetime to his Mekel, that is not Mekabel Tumah, and then in the posthumous Chachmas Adam, the posthumously published Chachmas Adam, he was Masmir, but there's a tshuva of the Chachmas Adam that indicates that he was Masmir, so it wasn't that someone just stuck that into the volume after he died, so that is tradition, but it seems like the Chachmas Adam himself is supposed there to be Masmir. But most poskim are Mako, that fundamentally paper is not considered Mekabel Tumah, like the Sidrei Tara. I'm sorry? Well, our paper as well. Meaning even paper from the node. So what you're getting at, I think what you're asking, is that there's more of a reason to be machmir by paper made out of tamar pishtim than paper made out of wood. Right, so that's what Rabbi Tar points out. So yes, most of the later Achronim would have been, the paper we have is not the Nodim Yudah paper, but it sounds like most of the Achronim would have been Mako even with the Nodim Yudah paper, like the Sidrei Tara that Panu Chadashos Bo Lekai. But to your point, Moshe, Rabbi Kar points out on page Sadi that you may have the following distinction, that even if you're going to be Masmir like the Nodim Yudah, but maybe the Nodim Yudah would be Mako in our paper, at least subject to the dinim of tumah for kliyeh. So if you fashion paper with a flute keyboard, so then it would be a mekabel tumah sum. But most of our paper doesn't have a flute keyboard, so in hilchos tumah eight, then it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. Right. The toilet paper, you mean it does not have a flute keyboard. I'm sorry? Toilet paper is produced presumably with the same kind of wood pulp as regular paper. So then if you, right, so in theory, even if you were, if one were to be machmir like the Nodim Yehuda about the late medieval, early modern paper, then you might still be Mako with our paper. All of our paper, correct. Okay. Ramosha makes another point about toilet paper, even meaning Ramosha in Shuvas is a little bit no to the Hachmer on paper in general. He's not misyakis to whether you distinguish between the no to use the paper and our paper. But even though Ramosha is no to the Hachmer on paper in general, he says that toilet paper is better. Pela Gimel Yerodea Simen Nun Gimel, Pela Gimel Simen Nun Gimel, and Tshuva number 14 to Rabbi Eider. So Moshe writes that since our toilet paper is very thin and it's never really usable for anything else, so then it's considered karua umushpas, it's not really functional, and therefore it's not going to be makabel to much. He says, even though Ramosha is not makel like the Sidrei Tara, but when it comes to toilet paper, he's willing to be makel of la mitameh, because it's not really nitsayim, it's his lashon karua umushpas. And even he says it could be that the earlier achronim were talking about thicker paper than we have anyway. So the Noda B'Hudah's paper might have been thicker paper than our paper. So maybe you could argue that even our paper, again, he doesn't talk about the difference in production between rags and wood, but in terms of the thickness, so maybe you could argue that our paper is, the etzem regular paper is flimsier and therefore less likely to be makabel tamo. But even if you don't say that, toilet paper is super flimsy and super not functional, and therefore would not be metabolic of a stomach. Yeah. I think even 2-ply toilet paper is still considered thin and flimsy. Did it make 3-ply? Yeah. I would imagine even 3-ply is considered thin and flimsy relative to real paper or anything more functional. I assume they don't make 4-ply. Really? So if you want to bring in a sample next time, you can evaluate it in there. Yeah, Ramosha writes tissues are the same. Mm-hmm. Tissues are a little bit thicker than toilet paper, but he assumes that tissues are the same. Now, there is another consideration. That's as far as whether the toilet paper the essence is the kabel toma. But there's another consideration that Ramosha and other later posts can deal with. If maybe we should be concerned if a woman sees dam on a piece of toilet paper after being on the telus neirag lion, then maybe she should be concerned dilma argus ova daita. Maybe she should be concerned that there is hargasha dam that was masked by the hargasha neirag lion. That's one possible concern. And the other possible concern is whether a kinua has a din of bedika. If a woman is wiping herself, so the din by bedika, we didn't really discuss it yet, but the din by bedika, if you insert a bedika cloth into the vaginal area, so then the no kula summon. So that's it's clear that that's directed in one area, and if you have dam that comes out of there, we know the dam comes from, so there's no kula summon on the bedika. But it's the kinuach the same. So those are the two, even if you'll assume that toilet paper is not metabol tuma, but there are two other threshold issues you have to deal with. Number one, are we concerned that maybe there is a mass hargasha? And number two, are we concerned that kinuach might have the status of a bedika, and if you see any dam on a kinuach, that would be like a bedika, and it would make the women tameya without the possibility of kula tuma. So the Chavis asks, deals with this in the beginning of our simon. Did I put this on my phone? I remember. Okay, so I probably didn't. So it's a long tisatan. We discussed part of it earlier. That's the Chavisas that argues to the Tara about the definition of Hargasa. But the Chavisas assumes that if a woman is does a kinuach toch shir vest. So toch shir vest means within a very short amount of time. We'll define it shortly. If you do a kinuach within a short amount of time after being matelas meir lion, so then you have to be machmer in that because of the concern of Dilma Argisha Velavadaita, that maybe if it was immediately after the Hatalas Meir Lion, maybe there was a Meir Targasha, and they have to be concerned that there was a Dam Haba the Hargasha. So what is the Shear Vest? Rabbi Forth points out, Sheva Levi first. So Sheva Levi writes here in Kufsadi in this halakha that if a woman does a kinuach within a minute after the matelas meraglayim, so then he says it's hard to be maker. That if it's within a minute after matelas meraglayim, you have to be concerned that maybe there was a meach hargasha. Rabbi Forth points out that chapter 9, footnote 48, so that shear seems extreme. That seems like a long shear, because we know from another context that the shear vest is the amount of time it takes to do a bedika. So that we have in the end of Siman Kufsadi. In Sif Nun Aleph, that a shear vest is the amount of time it takes to do a bedika, which is much less than a minute. Rav Moshe assumes in a Tshuva Yud Gimel to Rabbi Eider that if a woman is leaving the bathroom benachas, she's not interrupted by a screaming child or a boiling pot on the stove, but she leaves the bathroom benachas, so then the amount of time that or the natural time at which a woman would be mitanachas is enough after the completion of the atalos meiraglayim not to pose a potential concern of the argus of a love of life. Meaning, if a woman is in a rush and she's wiping herself because she's rushing to get out of the bathroom to pick up a screaming child, so then the concern is that maybe there's still a little Meir Glayan dripping while she is mekanachas, and then you have a legitimate concern that maybe there's a meach hargasha. But if she's leaving the bathroom benacha, so then the norm is that you'd wipe yourself after the last drops come out, and then you don't have such a concern of a mass hargasha. That's Rav Moshe's call it the middle position, that's nowhere near the minute of Rav Osner, but as long as you're leaving benacha, then we're not concerned about argasha of the lava dike. As far as the other question of whether kinuach has been bedika, so Rav Moshe's makel on that as well in Oth Tezayin to Rabbi Eider, that the standard the kinuach which would be of concern that maybe it has a status of bedika is if a woman is mekanacha osamaka, so she's not going to extend to the as far as the bedika goes. That she's going to do a kinuach in that same area, so then you potentially have a problem that maybe that kinuach has a din of a bedika. But if a woman is mekanachas herself after going to the bathroom, so then that kinuach covers a broader area than the area where you would insert a bedika cloth. And since it's not limited to that area, so then you still have the legitimate right to attribute any dam that would come up on that kinuach to some other source other than dam and makor, and you have the right to be naked with tumas sonim on such a kinuach. Rabbi Karp writes, Paragimel Sivzayin. Paragimel Sivzayin, he heard the same clue from Rabbi Yashiv. However, Rabbi Morgenstern, Chelek Beis, Perek Nun Sifyadalid, Volume 2, Perek Nun Sifyadalid, writes that he heard from Rav Yashiv that if you have a kesem on a tinuach, that is the same din as a kesem al besara. Because if you have a kesem on a tinuach, so that basically means that the dam was on the body or in the body, and then it showed up on the piece of toilet paper. It showed up on the quinoa. So that would have a din of basically a kesem al basara, and if a kesem al basara, so then there's no kula for tivonim, there's no kula for edim atabal tuma, because it's the etzem a kesem al basara. And Badi Shulchan writes the same thing as a svara, without explaining. Badi Shulchan of the urim to Siflam and Gimel, so he throws out this possibility, as was, maybe you should say this, that if you have a kesem on a tinuach that has a din of a kesem al basara, but Rabbi Morgenstern quotes Rav Yashiv after we said that le halacha. The Sel HaChachma, the Sel Stern from Australia, that's the Debertina's brother. So he has this something similar, Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Kafei, Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Kafei. So he's asked about this cellular woman found a kesem, or found dam on toilet paper. So he says that you can't be mako on tivonim, even if the toilet paper is tavua, because this is etzem a kesem al gufa. It happens to be that she picked up the kesem al gufa and ended up on the toilet paper. But that's not considered a kesem at a bag of tavua, that's considered a kesem al gufa. But he says, if you're going to say that, then the opposite should be true as well. So let's say you find a kesem on a bag of tzavua, and then that bag of tzavua touches a bag of lava. So now the kesem is transferred from the bag of tzavua to the bag of lava. He says there you'll be naked, because that's the etzem, the kesem that was on a bag of tzavua, but just got transferred to a bag of lava. So if you're going to be machmir, the tree, a kesem and a kinuach, and a kesem al-basara, because the source is al-basara, so then the equal and opposite kula is if you started out with a kesem on tavua, and then that kesem is transferred to levanim, it still has the status of kesem on a bag of tavua. That's the Bessel HaChachma of kula and opposite kula. Yeah. For that reason, I find it hard to believe it for that reason. Rabbi Willig always recommends using colored toilet paper, but I think it's harder to find in America now than it used to be. So years ago, it was a lot easier to find colored toilet paper. I don't think it's so marketed anymore. But be that as it may. But most posts can... One second, okay. Yeah? So that's what Rav Yashiv says, and that's what the Bessel HaChachma says. But most poskim don't seem to assume that way. Okay. Yeah. Well, stop. One time. So, as far as the Bessel HaChachma's kula and kurma, so most poskim don't seem to assume that way. Most poskim assume that everything's based on where you find it. So in the second shaila if it started out in a bag of Tzavuin that ended up in a bag of Lavan, if you're looking at the Kesef in a bag of Lavan, then you have to see it as being on a bag of Lavan. And by the same token, if it's on the Kinoach, so Lamaisa is on a piece of toilet paper, and then you're treating it as such. So yes, Mayor, there are multiple reasons to be Mako on toilet paper. Number one, Enim Makabel Tumma, like your Moshe, even though the Yossi was Machner on the Enim Makabel Tumma question. Number two, that at least according to Ramosha, if you're being Mekaneach Benachas, it's not considered to be Telshi or Vest, and therefore not considered but Argus of Lavadaita. Number three, that we could be Mekel not to feed the Tinuach of the Bedika, but you have to make a number of assumptions in order to come out safely. So there are a number of built-in silos here, so always better to avoid having to deal with all these rabbits with silos, because in any particular scenario, it could be not all the kulas are going to come to fruition. You have to deal with all the details. So obviously, much better not to get into the silos. So that's what Rav Ozner writes and Rabbi Willigoy says, that even though if push comes to shove, if you have a shaila on a kinuach, it's probably going to end up being a reason lahakel. But so why get into the problem? And always better not to look. That a woman should never look in the toilet bowl. A woman should never look at a kinuach because you're just asking for trouble. Sometimes easier said than done. People by nature tend to look, so it requires a certain kibush hayetzer to avoid that. But the Eitz HaTova is you're always looking for trouble if you look. So close your eyes, use a blindfold. Don't look, and then you're likely much better off. If someone did look, so then, as we discussed, if you see down in the toilet bowl, machlokas dikneibot and minsakirsak, what do we make about? And if you see it on the kinuach, there's also what do we make about on all these shilas. But better not to get into the shilas. Not necessarily. You avoid, if you use toilet paper, so that's better because it's tzavonim. But you still have to deal with the kinuach shaila, if that has a bit of a bedika, and you still have to deal with the hargasa lavadaita shaila. So it helps, it's better. I think that, at least in America, when they used to have colored toilet paper, if I'm remembering correctly, it was generally inferior quality to the white. I guess all Israeli toilet paper is probably the same quality. Yeah, but better not to have to deal with these. Better to do what you can to avoid getting such a fire. Okay. What about synthetic materials? Are synthetic materials going to be mekabel tumas tzomet? So the Mishnah in Kalim, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Kol Shebiyam Tahor, that anything that comes from the sea is Tahor. If you make a kli out of anything from the sea, it's Ein of a Kabbal Tumba, Chutz Mikel of a Mayim, and Eshu Barech Liyabasha Divribiki. So if you make a kli, you fashion a kli out of material of anything that is sea grown, it's not in the Kabbal Tumba. The Rambam writes, Perek Aleph Kalim Halacha Gimel. Kalim Asuyim Me'atzamos Chayesh Abiyam U'me'ora Tahorim. If he fashion a kli from the bones of a sea creature or from the hides of a sea creature, Tahorim. Kol Shebiyam Tahor Ve'enu Mekabel Tumah Min HaTumos Below Tumas Nezek. Afa orei beged mitzemer hagadol b'yam. Even if you weave a garment from sea wool, whatever sea wool is, wool that comes from a sea creature, ein mekabel tumah. And amar o beged al or b'tiyashmu alamdu ma beged min hagadol b'aretz af or min hagadol b'aretz. So tzemer hagadol b'yam or hagadol b'yam is not going to be mekabel tumah, even if you fashion a kli from it. Okay. So Moshe writes, Tehila Gimel Yeridea Simen Yom Gimel, Tehila Gimel Simen Yom Gimel. That if you fashion a kli out of nylon, and nylon is oil based, then that's not going to be mekabel tuma. That's not min ha'aretz. In order to be mekabel tuma, it has to be min ha'aretz. Gadol ba'aretz. So Yashiv writes, Chelek Aleph Kodesh Tshuva Siman Aleph, the very first tshuva in the first volume of Kodesh Tshuva. It's relevant for tzitzis also, that if you make tzitzis out of a synthetic garment, it's not chayav tzitzis min ha'Torah. Because even if you assume like the Ramah, that Shar B'Gadim is five in Tamar Pishtim is five in Tzitzis Min HaTorah. But if it's synthetic, it's not, because that's not considered Gadel Ba'aret. Interesting, Rav Avadya writes in the Tarif Havayis, page Tavzayim, he writes the same thing, Nidaito, and he says that the Nile is not the Kabbal Tumah. And he says he seems to recall discussing this with Rav Yashiv 20 years earlier, and Rav Yashiv is masking to what Rav Avadya said. So when Rav Avadya wrote this, the Kodesh Tshuva hadn't been published yet, but subsequent to Rav Avadya's recollection of having this conversation with Rav Yashiv, he writes that he said this to Rav Yashiv, Rav Yashiv is masking, but it printed the very first Tshuva in the first volume of Kodesh Tshuva. Okay. So Rav Moshe is writing in the context of Kabbalah Samim, Tumas Samim, Rav Avadya writes in the context of Tzitzis, it's the same yisod. Rav Gefil Michel Stern in his Shari Tara, Simen Tes Zayin Osfes, and on, Simen Tes Zayin Osfes, he writes that it only goes so far. So even if you accept the argument of Ramosha, and Rav Yashiv in a similar context, even if you accept the argument that material made out of nylon or material made out of some other synthetic a garment made out of some other synthetic material is not mekabel tuma, that's only going to be relevant if the entire beged is made out of that substance. Because the next line, the Rambam, that we didn't read yet, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, Chiber min ha-gadol b'yam im ha-gadol b'aretz. If you wove a beged using material from the sea together with material from the land, afilu chud ha-mashicha, even if it's only a single thread of material that's gadol b'aretz, im chibro chibor, at shenesim es shneyem ki'ilu hein echa b'tumah, she'im nit b'zeh yitam b'zeh hakol mekabel tumah. So if you're mechaber this beged from material min hayam with a chut of material min ha'aretz, it's still going to be mekabel tuma. But if the 100% the suit says 100% fish, so then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. But if it's 99% fish and 1% linen, so then the linen's mechaber together, and then the bag is going to be mekabel tuma. So even if you have a row of the garment that's made from synthetic material, if there's any natural tamar pishtim, natural lamb material woven in there, it's going to be mekabel tuma. As Rabbi Morgenstern points out, it's hard to dissect exactly what the makeup of any synthetic garment is, because in most situations, even garments made from synthetic material are going to have other materials mixed together. So Lamaisa, if you have a hefem yoshem mitzvah v'od on a synthetic beged, it's hard to be nikel, because it's hard to be omed on how synthetic the beged really is. There are posts where even more math here, to say that there's going to be tumas begadim, even if you have material that the etzem isn't mekabel tuma, if you make it into a beged. So Mincha Yitzchak writes, "Zayin Weiss, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Yotes, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Yotes." That he says you can't conceive of the mitzvah of a garment that people wear that's not going to be metabolism, huh? Because if you're making it through a garment, so that gives it enough chashivas to make it considered a baggage and be metabol tuma, and therefore metabol tuma tuma tuma. That's what the Bali Yisrochan writes, Paskin in Tukata and Kazayin as well. And Rabbi Morgenson, page 421, quotes that Ishmashu from the Chazanish. Chazanish is in Yeridaya, Simin Kuf Kavaz Tukat and Vayim. Yeridaya, Simin Kuf Kavaz Tukat and Vayim, paragraph beginning of the Ode. Kuf Kavaz Tukat and Vayim, the Ode. That there's a special riboy for Tumas Begadim, such that if you fashion a baggage that you're going to wear, even if it's made out of Ein Mekabel Tumas substances, if you weave it in the standard way of weaving your garments, Tzvi, Ariga, like Tzemer Pissim, it's going to be Mekabel Tumas. This is why, to really understand this detail of Hilchos Tumim, you have to have a pretty broad scope of Taras, which I don't profess to have. So this is a very Mikufya presentation of what some of the issues are. But I confess that I haven't spent enough time on Taras to have a handle on all this. And if I said anything inaccurate and you find it, please find out, please correct me. But these are the general parameters of what comes into an analysis of whether a beggar is metabolism or something. Yeah. Aren't they against the Rambam? So unless the Rambam is talking about a beggar that's not covered the Tzvia, you know, just say Oleg. Yeah, I don't remember if they addressed the Sfarad. So I'm going to take a look. Not sure. You quote the Marshan, Menachos Yitzchak. Not sure. That was my disclaimer that I'm not holding enough from Tyrus to answer. Yeah, not sure. No, I don't think there's a motion that was talking about the one under the semi one. But, yeah, I don't think there's a motion would disagree that if there's other material woven together, then there could be metabolism for that reason. Okay, I think we'll stop here. And we reconvene tomorrow. Do you want to talk to the chair tomorrow? Okay, let's go. Oh, fine. So we can do 3 o'clock? Is that good? Okay. So tomorrow...